I did get in there, and I didn't think that it was behaving correctly. I don't really expect it to, because it's really old code, and it's sort of like patched and stitched together and made to look a little bit better. And maybe I gotta work it around with some of my stuff, but I mean, you know, I run really clean hardware and I run really clean drivers, and I don't do anything particularly stupid. Maybe my ATI control panel was giving it fits or some shit like that, but I mean, it ran like, you know, like it'd been smacked on the ass. I mean, it obviously, like, I could not slow it down. It's just I couldn't get it to do exactly what I wanted it to do, which was, you know, show me guys way out there. I happened to be running at like 400 miles an hour. So I guess apparently I left myself with super speed for whatever fucking reason. So I got in there and I did that, and I, you know, I scrapperfied on something, and that was really, really cool.
Did you have to remember what all your little powers did?
Man, I didn't know what the F was going on for, like...
It was weird.
For, like, a...
The powers and the enhancements, too.
I was like...
Like, I had to hover my arrow over some things, like, wait a second, what's that one? What does it do?
The inspirations are pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, the potions. Inspirations are potions. That's all they are. That's all they are.
Like, target, obviously, that's my aim. And then the health. Yeah, I totally could understand that, but it was the powers that had comporting there.
Keep your fucking hands away from that.
Sorry, this thing needs to go away for a while. I hit a button, it stopped the recording, now we're back.
I didn't know. I mean, I don't particularly mind. Like, A, there's virtually no chance I'm going to pay for another month. Virtually no chance. I don't want to say 100%, but whatever. I don't mind. I paid like $9 for a boxed version that I used to upgrade a four-year-old account. I will say, I spent like 2-3 hours maybe with it. I don't know. A while. It was possibly the most depressing block of time I have spent. And I'm not even being facetious. I'm really trying to be very literal. It was one of the most... I felt more hollow after my time spent there than I have in... I don't know.
What's that?
I ran into 12 people.
Oh, really?
I see people on occasion. I try and heal them. Like they may be full health. I'm like, oh, I can. There's someone heal.
No, it was empty. It was really cool when Wrath of the Lich King came out.
Uh-huh. You know,
I went and I got my copy at midnight, and I had my dude. He was hanging out like where, you know, it was down Stormwind Harbor. He was like ready to get on the boat. You know, went on the boat. I knew exactly which way I was going.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the place, and I did the thing, and I hit 71 or 2 or something like that, whatever you got to be. And I was mage. You know, so then there's a guy in your respective end, depending on which, you know, end of the continent you start on, who, if you're a mage, you can get to... You could go to Dalaran at 71. You didn't have to wait to 74 to use the proper portal like everybody else. Or wait until some mage got to 74 and actually earned the portal to Dalaran. Whatever. I mean, it wasn't a noteworthy achievement or anything, but on my server, I was the first mage to 71. So, like, everybody, it's, you know, I don't know, 1:30 in the morning, like 2 in the morning, something like that, whenever I managed to actually do it. And I was the only guy in Dalaran. I was alone, and it was really cool. And I was like, this is the only time this is ever going to happen. Because in a few hours, there will be, like, a couple dozen people here. In a couple days, you know, it'll start looking like it's really going to look like. And then within a week, it'll be a crowded fucking mess, just like Shattrath was. But for now, for right now, I'm in an empty place in an MMO. There's nobody else here. And I ran around forever, you know, fending off whispers and, like, talking to my friends, telling them what it looked like and everything, because none of us have been in the beta. And it's just neat to be there and to soak in the emptiness of this place that was designed to accommodate so many different real humans.
It's like that picture.
And it was charming. It was fucking crazy. That same feeling, that same experience in City of Heroes I felt like I was staring into the fucking abyss. I was like, holy shit, merge some goddamned servers.
They haven't. They haven't since...
That, I was shocked.
Same server.
It was the same, like, 12 servers. I was like, are you out of your goddamn mind? Like, maybe there's some kind of stigma. We all know there's a stigma to merging servers, but for God's sake, your shit is 5 years old. It's okay. I literally ran into, like, 12 people. I went all the way back to Atlas Park. I was like, I gotta see somebody. There was, like, two assholes hanging out in front of Positron.
Oh.
And then, like, you know, another six assholes in Atlas Park. And then, you know, one or two random here and there. But, like...
That's depressing as fuck.
It was, like... No, there was one person in Icon, in the shop. And, but, like, just randomly running around the world. Like, see, shit, dude. And it horrified me. I know that it's old. Like, I know that it's old. I'm not expecting there to be lots of people.
City of civilians.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, it's still fun, still neat. Like, there's still lots of stuff to do, but holy shit, you need to drop down to, like, three servers. You know? The only reason I could think of was so that they wouldn't violate anybody's precious character name conventions, you know. But, like, I gotta be this guy, you know, and I'm this guy of this server, you know. It's like, well, you're doing it alone, my friend. I mean, it really seemed like an empty box where people role-played by themselves, like lonely masturbatory role-playing. And it really hurt my goddamn soul. Because I was there in the beginning. We were there.
Remember, like, yeah. You couldn't, like, just super jump without running into someone.
No, man, it was like fucking pulsing and, like, yeah, vibrating with, like, you know, the color and the excitement and the insanity of the whole goddamn... I remember, it was neat, and it was just people, you know?
Blue tags everywhere.
It was really awesome, and in this one, I couldn't fucking find them to save my life. It was really... It was just very... I don't even necessarily need to interact with them, but there's a certain kind of implied warmth to any universe that's filled with other humans, and I like it, you know? I like running out into another soul when you're doing whatever. It's nice to know that directly or indirectly the world is filled with other people. And it was just like everything that was interesting about that world was other people, you know? It wasn't there. And it was really bad. And I think it would be perfectly fun. The game is still perfectly valid and playable and enjoyable, I guess, if, you know, if there were more people. I didn't go out to, like, Talos Island or anything, which I'm sure, you know, everybody's got, like, 950s now, so I'm sure that's where a lot of people are. But I didn't go out there. I was mostly just running around trying to make the client behave.
It'd be interesting to see what was on the villain side of things. I didn't look.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been entire... It's like landing on Mars and being like, it's devoid of life. This 6-square-foot section is devoid of life, so the planet's devoid of life. It's like, okay, I don't necessarily want to be like that. Like, I would like to be scientific about it, so I should go out to the high-level zones where the high-level people populate their thing, doing their high-level whatever. Go over to the villain side of things, mm-hmm. You know. The only thought that I had that I actually walked through was I'll go to where people create their characters, which is, you know, Atlas Park and Galaxy City.
Yes.
Right? And I just didn't see any guys. So, frustrating. It's whatever. Kind of neat to see it again, but it really was sort of like, it wasn't that there wasn't anybody there. It was that there had been so many people. You know, it was walking into a tram station and being alone. And I was like,
there
should be 100
like,
guys here.
The way you describe it sounds like, imagine waking up in New York and 75% of the population's gone.
Yeah, man, it was all I Am Legend. It was really bad. I didn't even have a fucking dog. it was just crazy, and I remember fucking clearly, like, you know, there were just, like, tons of fucking people. And you know what? It's the only time in any MMO when I had a higher likelihood of recognizing somebody by physically recognizing them than by their name. Mm-hmm. You know, Warcraft is so completely All right, well, let's get Eve out of the way. You're a goddamn spaceship that looks like every other spaceship of that class.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's just something you got to deal with in that game. There is no... There's technically an avatar, but you ain't fucking pay attention. That's for you. That's really not for anybody else. Nobody gives a shit. You're a name on a spaceship. That's that. You're usually not even a spaceship. You're usually an icon floating out into the in the middle of the inky void, you know? Like... You got to be comfortable with that. Your identity has to come across in text or fuck you. Like, that's how it is. Warcraft is just so rote and repetitive. It's like, you know, I'm never necessarily going to recognize your dwarf by the cut of his beard. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not going to happen. But I would, man, all the fucking time, I would recognize people like you guys or like somebody else I would play with coming off of a tram.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Mike. You know, hey, Mike, what's, you know, like, we didn't even see the name.
There was a lot of variation and a lot of room for unique.
Yeah, there really was. There really was. It was an amazing thing.
What's the name of our supergroup?
I don't know, but I had an email.
The Warriors. Wasn't it?
Warriors of something.
Warriors of Honor,
that's right. There you go. I was like, the W of H. That's all I remember, because I had a goddamn email about it.
We had that one guy...
And I couldn't figure out for 10 fucking minutes why my dude was broken. I was like, this is not my goddamned outfit. My outfit's cool. I'm yellow and black because of my spine shoot out. See, it's like warning stripes. It's cool. And I got in, I was all like blue and white. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, that's right.
It took me like,
the super group colors.
Remember, that was my team color. I'm a shit bugged out. I was like, oh, wait. This is what I look like at meetings.
We had that one guy who took screenshots and would make comic book covers.
Yeah. That shit was fucking fun, man. It was like, you know, and it was like far more flash than substance, and that was okay, because it was one of the few games I've ever played whose flash really kind of was its substance.
Yeah.
And everybody was all kind of happy about that. But
remember when they turned 50, you'd have like a line of superheroes and walk down the thing and like clicker and like ding.
Yeah.
And everybody would do the clap emote.
Man, it was really good in a lot of those ways, in every social way that so many other things weren't. And it had some pretty fucking good gameplay. So I suppose, you know, having seen all the horrors fly out at me from Pandora's box when I clicked that icon, I suppose hope really did float up out of the bottom, because I started thinking, okay, maybe champions
can
do something.
Yeah.
Anything of that, any bit of that, whatever degree you want to lay the failure of that game during the middle of its lifespan at Emmert's feet or whatever, I'd long since quit paying attention. It definitely had something. Like, there was a thing, man, and it was really groovy, and it was the one game I haven't ever played an MMO with that many real world friends either.
Yeah.
And I haven't actually made as many friends who were in other parts of the goddamned universe as I have in that game. It was really great in that regard. And I sort of feel like less of a, I don't know, just less.
Yeah, I know, like, a lot of you guys were still here, but, you know, Kevin was off in, what, Ohio?
And yeah, he was already in Ohio.
I was in England. Who, like, people in, like, Finland or something.
But, like, I mean, it was great. It was really,
everywhere.
Really good, man.
Yeah.
I think, I don't want to say anything, but I would give a lot to be able to do that again. I suppose it would require me to shame an awful lot of people into building better PCs. Because that was the other thing, is that everybody had a suitable box at the time. But...
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you know, if depending on whether or not 360 and PC players can be able to play together.
Yeah. Even if they can, though, I don't see that happening anytime around the same time. I think 360 launch will... I'm just getting that kind of... There's that sort of odor coming off of the whole development, you know? I feel the PC version coming a lot sooner than I feel the console version, just because there's a lot of, like, real definitive talk about the PC version, and there's a lot of, like, oh, yeah, the 360 version talk coming about the 360 version. So, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, if any of that can happen again, any of it, with all of us just sitting around being like, this is fun shit to do together, like, meant a lot to me. I didn't realize how much, you know.
Exactly. And even, like, when we got off of that, we started doing a Day of Defeat. You know, a lot of us. That was still fun. Like, storm and avalanche.
We do anything together. I'm, look, all right, I have had a personal dream for a very long time, okay? MMOs, to me, are not about the grind. They're not about the gear collection. They're not about any of these things. MMOs are the perfect thing for everybody to do together because they don't necessarily require you to always be there at the same time. If we want to co-op through some Rainbow Six terrorist hunt, we all got to fucking be there before you start the mission. If we want to co-op through this thing over here, you all got to be there before you start the mission. If we want to play Dods together, we all got to get in it together and like roll together on the same server together. And it's a timing thing, and it's a schedule thing. And an MMO does not have to be that way. There's so much flexibility in terms of how each individual person approaches the game.
Even with City of Heroes, you could just, you know, if you leveled up
a little bit,
I'll sidekick you.
And it was inconvenient, but it was something, you know? And I did a lot of griping about it. And I think I think it was probably because they had not perfected the system. Mm. But it was still a thing. And I've always liked the idea that we would have something that everybody could kind of plug into, you know? And sort of show up whenever. It's like if everybody hangs out at the same, you know, coffee shop or bar every night, you know. Like, you show up 3 days out of seven or 4 days out of seven, you're still, like, hanging out with the group, you know. Mm-hmm. That's how I always felt about an MMO. That's what I've always wanted. But it's almost impossible to get people to do that for whatever. I mean, it's because everybody has what they have, you know. But that's why I like them. So I'm running out of my fucking friends to hang out.
I'd like to go back to that time in City of Heroes, but have everything that City of Heroes has now. Because, I mean, at the time, we were like, man, it'd be great to have a base, wouldn't it? Well, we didn't have one. But they do now. Mm-hmm. It would have been awesome to walk into our own little base that we made, you know, with, like, they got tons of shit you can decorate your base with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? There just haven't been that many MMOs to come along and capture, like, all of our imaginations at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
personally tired of the whole sword sorcery, you know.
I am too, but I'm like, I'm willing to do a little bit of sword swallowing if it gets people into it. I can deal with some shit if we can get people to play it.
Yeah.
I have had, in my opinion, three successes in terms of the people. My inner circle, which is basically people in this room and people like the people in this room, and my outer circle, people who are like-minded and who I can play with, whom I've never met, people who listen to this podcast, people who we post together on the Colony of Gamers forum, people who I've never even heard of, you know? Like, I like that. I like combining the two. That's happened in City of Heroes. It's happened in Anarchy Online. Because we were too goddamn stupid to know what was going on. We bought a cheap and ran around getting killed together. And Planetside, of course.
Ah, yeah.
And all of those were so goddamn ephemeral that it hurts me to think about it. So, I don't particularly care for the structure of an MMO. You know, as a genre that I pursue because I like the way it does things, I'm cool with that. But the reason I love it so much, the reason I try to get other people into it, is just because it's something we all be into together, you know? Literally into, in as much as you're willing to authorize virtual space as, like a real proxy for hanging out, which I am. I've been doing it long enough to know that it's valid. Like, fuck, you know? Like, you go back to, like, I don't know, the sand or the other side of the planet or whatever. If you're in an MMO, we're still hanging out.
I've
physically seen Kevin, right, in like, I don't know, 30 years, it seems like. But I hang out with that fucker more than I hang out with anybody in this room. You know what I mean? Like, it's good, man. If you can, like, keep that shit tied in, then people who go away never disappear. You never lose them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of important to me. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, I suck at keeping in touch. You can ask anybody who's worked here who doesn't work here anymore. I don't write, I don't call, I don't do any of that shit. You can fucking ask family. I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't call any of you people. I don't, whatever, but hey, if you happen to be playing the same game.
We go eat at O'Charlie's every now and then.
Yeah, but I know, but I don't really call it. I'm going to let Dana take care of that shit. But the only way that I keep in touch is through the gaming that we do.
Yeah.
That was the only way. It was the same way with Kevin. But yeah, so, by the way, welcome to the show. 20 minutes in, Welcome to In-Game Chat for April the 14th, 2009, the official podcast, ColonyGamers.com. Check us out there at our forums or hit us up at everyone@ingamechat.net. Welcome to the show.
So April 14th. My daughter's 5 today.
Oh, happy birthday.
I'm talking to her on the phone. She was asking about you, man.
She got my biscuit?
That's what she was talking about. She's like, you know the guy that wants my biscuit? I'm like, yeah. She's like, I miss him. I'm like, I want to see him. And so she was like telling me to like write this note down and give it to you. I didn't like catch all of it, but she wanted me to tell you something about a biscuit and that you couldn't have one. And
that's ridiculous.
So she's 5?
Yeah.
I'm going to take that kid's biscuit. And I want a good one. I want like a Chick-fil-A biscuit or like a Hardee's biscuit or something. Bullshit, like biscuit or anything. Like, there are Grands. That's what you need to do. You take her to the grocery store and buy a pack of Grands. I want one of those things. Butter. Butter Grands.
She said something about, like, she told me to tell you something about, like, if you came to see her, you could have a biscuit.
Oh,
and
really?
I was like, are you going to give him a biscuit? She's like, no.
Sneaky.
Don't worry about it. It's not as interesting as it sounds.
Yeah.
Jeremy went to the theater like 2 years ago. She had some biscuit in her hand that she wouldn't eat. She was
and James demanded the
like,
biscuit.
Yeah, biscuit. I'm going to eat that. Carry it around, drop it on shit. I'll put it to good use.
And she was trying to be surreptitious about it, too. She wanted me to write a note. She was going to dictate the note. I was going to write it down and give it to you as though it were from me to trick you so you wouldn't know it was from her.
Sure.
So
that's sneaky.
Well, I'm pretty stupid, so.
You would have fell for that ruse? I just can't believe she's fine.
Anyway, yeah.
That's cool.
Me either.
How's that build coming?
Which one?
The Space Invaders cabinet thing.
I haven't done anything in a while because I've been kind of broke, so I'd feel guilty about ordering parts.
Yeah.
But I need to order...
It's tax day tomorrow, too.
Yeah. I need to order capacitors for both it and Ms. Pac-Man.
Fix how much do like shit. Parts cost? Are they relatively cheap or are they kind of expensive?
Yeah, they're pretty cheap. It's just, you know, after you order, make, you know, like half a dozen orders, it starts to build up a little bit.
I can understand.
I spend $15-$20 a pop here there. So it's a hobby and relatively inexpensive as long as you spread it out enough.
As with most, I guess.
Well, what did we all play? Who wants to start? You guys?
I got Prince of Persia.
That's Matt.
That's Matt. Hi, I'm Matt. I picked up Prince of Persia for the PS3 and playing through that. I'm really enjoying it. I like it so far.
Keep hitting L2.
Yeah.
It's really going to get annoying after a while.
Lots of talking. It's almost...
Like, bitch, look, I have to jump on things now. Can we do this later? She won't do it later because, like, whatever she's got to say...
It's
like,
right then and there.
She's just going to talk about it.
It kind of reminds me of the Metal Gear Solid 4, you know, take 2 steps and there's a cutscene.
Yeah.
You know, take 2 steps and she wants to talk to you. You're like, all right, yeah, what do you want to say, chick?
This is actually a really wonderful representation of the relationship between two people, though.
Like, the guy's just trying to do his thing, and she's like, yeah.
Hey, that's like, L2. What?
Okay. Blah, blah, blah. All right, I'm going to go jump.
What? So, there you go. But it's like, you got to, you know.
I like it.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
The annoying factor of that game is something that that you lose your memory of pretty quickly, at least in my experience. The better it was a little better in retrospect than maybe it was at the time. Although the platforming was really fun.
I mean, I'm doing what everyone says, you know, just forget Santa time, forget, you know, all those other things, just take it as itself, and I'm really enjoying it. That and I'm also, on my DS, I've been playing the Broken Sword, just because, you know, I've always loved those games, and just going back to that on the director's cut, trying to figure out, you know, new puzzles and everything. I miss adventure gaming, so any chance I get some, I'll buy it.
It ain't happening very often, so yeah.
No. That's why, you know, I got like 3 copies of Sam and Max Season 1.
It didn't help.
No, it didn't, but...
You can feel better.
Jeremy, what have you played?
Nothing, man.
I didn't see you on either playing anything.
No.
So, yeah.
Nobody played any Resident Evil with me, so I sent that shit back.
Let me tell you. All right, so Saturday, I didn't do much of anything Saturday. I did. I played, went into City of Heroes and fixed my settings because at first I couldn't do, you know, like a moron, I went to the extreme on all of it.
Right, right.
Realized I couldn't do anything with it, and this was like months ago, and decided to sign out. And so going back in, I had to sit there and wait for things to load. You'd click the menu tray, and I have to wait for it to fucking appear. Then I have to wait for me to click on whatever and just go and hit default, you know, have everything go back, and then sign out and sign back in. And I messed with that a little bit. I messed with the Defense Grid demo on Steam. Played that, really, really enjoyed it, and was surprised that my computer could actually do it. And then what did I jump into? What did I play? I thought I played something else. Sunday, however, I woke up Sunday with a massive pain in my thumb. My right thumb.
Yeah?
No bruising, no swelling, but any pressure on the tip of my thumb hurt like a motherfucker. This I got a paperclip in my hand. You know when you put a paperclip on a piece of paper, you push with your thumb? Couldn't do that. I couldn't. Pressing the home button on my iPhone with my thumb hurt like hell.
Wow.
I'm thinking it was nerve damage. I don't know what I did to it, but it hurt really bad. But only when I put pressure. Buttoning pants or shirt fucking hurt. I went to pull up my zipper and had to use the other hand.
That has happened to me like in the distant past. I have a memory of that.
I don't know what the hell it was. I don't know what I did, but it was apparently nerve damage. But my thumb was in pain. It was in pain yesterday and also on Sunday. It's a little bit painful today, but not
is it like,
near as bad.
Is it on your thumb like where you...
analog stick?
Like where you rest your thumb on the stick? Or is it...
I played a little bit on last night. I played a little bit of Godfather last night, and I had to move my thumb placement to, like, near the joint.
See, I actually usually, that's actually where I usually rest my thumb. Mm. A little bit, a little bit in advance of the joint, out towards the tip of my thumb, but, like, basically.
I use pretty much the big, you know.
No, I don't do that.
Is it weird that that's where our calluses are?
Do what?
Is it weird that that's where our calluses are?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, having gaming calluses is pretty weird. That's not something you want to talk about with people who don't also have gaming calluses.
It's like, you know, my left-click mouse button finger, that, oh, man, that's powerful. I could left-click all day long.
I
got
to tell you, man, my calluses used to be a lot thicker when I was, like, 12 and used the NES D-pad.
Yeah.
Well,
well, that's basically the equivalent of, like, what the monks do when they jam their hands into, like, the
burning
hot
sand. Yeah.
And the burning sand. Uh-huh. That's what it is, growing up playing on a NES. Like, it's the same thing. Like, you could do the game equivalent of, like, Shaolin Palm now. You know what I mean?
But, yeah, it was very annoying. I didn't know what to do about it, really. I was just like, well, give it a few days. If it continues to hurt, see somebody about it. But
your form is all bad, man. It's working against you.
I don't know what that was. But yeah, so I played a little bit of Godfather.
How was it?
I've heard it's pretty assy. That's just what I heard.
I know it got a bad review in the game before. I know that.
I enjoyed that. I didn't play very much of it, so I really can't give any judgment on it. I liked what I was seeing, but for whatever reason, I wasn't in the mood to... First off, it started with me creating a character, like going through the whole facial stuff, and I'm like, man, I'm really tired of doing this.
Is this Godfather 1 or 2?
This is 2.
Does it follow the movie of 2? Or...
I don't know.
Okay.
I only played, like, I got out of Cuba. Does that follow?
And 2, they do go to Cuba.
I don't remember how 2 started, but yes.
Well, it actually started with Vito coming over us, coming over on the boat. So, as a boy.
We started at Cuba, and we were getting out of Cuba. We got out of Cuba and went to Miami.
It's about midway through the movie.
Jesus. That's the beginning of the game. Well, anyway... so it starts with character creation. It's like, here, you can adjust your face. And I was like, I don't want to do this. I hit randomize. Normally, I'm big into that. Normally, you're going to give me this. I'm going to be like, all right, I'm going to make somebody that, you know, I want to look at for the rest of this game. That time, I didn't care. It's like, fine, randomize it. And there were some fucked up faces it came up with. But found one, I stuck with it, played. We got out of Cuba, which was like basically your tutorial level. And it's like, okay, well, you're going to be in charge of this. And now you need to go and grab these other gangs and try and control this territory. And I was like, well, I've done this in Saints Row 2. I've done this in GTA. I'm just not in the mood to do this right now. So, I played through the tutorial, and I put it up. I sent it back to Gamefly already, because I was just like, oh, I'm really not in the mood to do this. I really want my Ninja Blade to come in. That's what I want to play. I want my Ninja Blade. I also have 50 Cent Blood on the Sand that I haven't played yet.
See, Ninja
Don't
Blade.
Give it a look like that.
You don't know.
I know. I hear it's great. I hear it's great and everything. It's just, I have this, part of me just really has this resentment of supporting anything with 50 Cent in it.
All right, here's the thing. Here's the way I understand this game. Previous failures were because the 50 brand took itself too seriously, right? It's kind of like Shatner not long after Star Trek.
Yeah.
But now it's like, well, fuck, we screwed up by taking ourselves too serious.
Talking about, like, so tech war area Shatner?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
So, like, now...
Don't shit on my past.
So now we're going to, like, take a totally different approach and, like...
Now they're in the price line negotiating.
Now it's whole, like, we're going to work to our strengths, which is, like, realizing that the whole concept of the Fitty game is kind of camp. So...
You say camp, you know, I say retarded.
Motherfucker, they're looking for a crystal skull that the bitches did not pay them with because some, like, other bitches stole it. That's fucking sweet.
I think Indy took it.
I think that's really awesome. I read the synopsis of the game and I was like, holy shit. Like, how could I go from, like, hating a concept to really laughing about it and liking a concept so quickly?
And I hear the co-op is pretty damn good.
Can you play as Eminem also?
Huh?
Can you play as Eminem in
Man,
co-op?
What, you need to shut up.
I don't know, I'm just...
You need to shut up.
All right.
Who's Eminem? The green things? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying, though, if you'd gone any more into it, I wouldn't know who the... I'd have had to go across the hallway over there.
Yeah, go to the... Start
talking to this guy.
Hey, what's this guy talking about?
Yeah, come here.
Says something about something with peanuts in it. I don't know. Eminem.
Which is weird, because, you know, I went to him when the game came out. I went to the guy at the Urban Station. I said, you guys going to get any copies of 50 Cent Blowing the Sand? I was like, what's that? New album? I was like, no, it's a game. Because every now and again, we'll get, oddly enough, as a radio station, they will send us, like, NBA Live and a couple other games like that. Fight Night, they sent us. It was all for PS2, but yeah.
It's something.
But, yeah, they would send us stuff. Like, record labels would like, send the stuff. But he wasn't getting any copies of 50 Cent, Blowing the Sand. But I got a copy of it. I haven't played it yet. I really do not want to play it single player. If a game has co-op, that's how I kind of want to play it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to play Resident Evil 5 by myself and play it at co-op. That's what it had. Halo Wars. I really want to play that game, even though it's got single player, and from what I understand, pretty good single player, but it also offers co-op, and I want to play through it with somebody.
Yeah, I'm sure single player's great.
Yeah, I want to play it with somebody. So.
Whatever.
That's my thing.
I'd like to play it with you.
City of Heroes is almost the same way.
Right. Single player game?
Well, no. It's just like I can play it by myself, but it's a lot more fun.
Well, it happens
people there.
To be an MMO.
Yeah.
So.
But you can go through it by yourself if you want to. Depending on your build, obviously, but.
Well, yeah.
Cause
it's not exactly the same.
As a villain mastermind, I can go through it pretty well because I got, like, all my bots.
Yeah. The multiplayer in an MMO is not a feature.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't put the fact that an MMO is multiplayer on the box. It's like a bullet point. Yeah. Sort of.
I don't know. You might on City of Heroes now.
Maybe a special edition.
It's there. I can do it, but I'd really like to have my super group go in and, you know, combine the powers and really beat the fuck out of these people.
With our powers combined.
I remember my last real memory of that.
It had to have been the Halloween event.
I was really, no. It was after that. It was really funny. I didn't pay attention to where my guy was. He was in Independence Port.
Wow.
I don't know what the fuck he was doing there.
When you logged in, that's where he was?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell he was doing there.
Well,
I'm pretty sure I didn't leave him there. I specifically remember, like, getting so pissed off at that character, at the way that the scrappers had changed, that I took him fucking as far away as possible and left him there. I, like, ran that motherfucker out to, like, the furthest corner of the furthest zone, like the Richty crash site, and parked him in a corner, like, up on the fucking shit that has the shield on it. Like, wait, I was like,
yeah,
I'd sit here.
And think about what you've done.
I fucking left his ass, man. I logged off and left him there, so I don't know what the hell he was doing in Independence Port. Then, like, one of my other guys was, like, apparently, like, in a door mission or something, because, like, when I logged on, he was, like, walking out of a door. I was like, what the hell you been doing? You've been doing there for, like, four and a half years.
Well, when you were gone, I had to get an office job.
Yeah, right?
Just to support myself. What I remember is, forgive us for a second, because nostalgia and memories are kind of flooding back after seeing this, but...
It comes in waves.
Well, I remember again, going back to saying I wish that we had what they've got now, mm-hmm. like the super bases and all that shit.
Yeah.
I remember that, I don't know if it was James or if it was Kevin or if it was Jeremy, like, found a window on one of the buildings and said, that's going to be my apartment.
That was me. I even, like, started constructing a little comic book. I still got all the screenshots that I took. Yeah, I was like, that's my apartment. That's where my character lives.
Like, I'm going right to, like, there. When I log off, I have to go to my apartment.
Yeah, yeah.
When I log in, that's where I come out of my apartment.
I think a lot of people started doing stuff like that.
Well, I did the same Mine thing was, when you could have different costumes.
Yeah.
If I was going to be a civilian guy, I had to go hide somewhere and change my civilian clothes.
Yeah, mine was, my apartment was, you know, like a billboards and signs and stuff mm-hmm. hanging off of all the buildings. Mine had a window that like walked right out onto the.
That's right. Yours
to the
in,
trust. It was in Steel Canyon.
Steel Canyon. Yeah.
It was on the northern end of Steel Canyon, overlooking that little lake area. But it was like, you know, so I got like hop out of my window and like be right there on the thing, and then like go off and do my shit. Like, it was very cool, man. I think that game fucking tricked everybody into role playing. Like you'd like be doing that stuff one day, and you're like, motherfucker, I'm role playing. I've never done any role playing. Like, where the hell did that shit happen?
Occasionally, I'd go by, and there'd be like some, you know, bad dudes spawned on top of my apartment. I'd be like, motherfuckers, you can't like gangbang on top of my apartment.
What are you doing up here?
They're trying to break into your apartment.
Yeah, probably. Or one of my neighbors. Fuck them.
Hey, I just happen to be here. I don't live here. You're looking for me.
So yeah, it's I love those memories. Those are great. But yeah, that's
I can't wait for Champions, man. It does look like most of us are going to get in there and play that. So
yeah,
be it PC or 360. Yeah,
I am. I tell you, I have like.
I'll be on PC.
I have said it again and again and again. Like, almost any MMO is worth it at launch, just to be, like, in and amongst like thousands of other people running around. Like,
that's a great. This is a great example of that.
Yeah, like being there in the first like 3 months, even if it fails, man. Like, Age of Conan was like terrible. It was like driving off a cliff. I didn't even make it to the point where the lack of content disappointed me. It's just that that had happened, and like server population tanked before I could get there. So it was like, oh, everybody's gone. Okay, well, okay, you know, I guess I'm done. But that shit was really fun. Like while it was there, like in the first 90 days, that shit was really, really cool. And yeah, it was worth the price of the box for me. I think almost anything is while you're kind of learning about it and doing that sort of thing. If you sort of equate it to the fact that you could pay $50, pay full price for something else, you're only going to play for a month. So I will definitely, if Champions happens in a timely fashion, like as it appears it will, I'm there, day one. I'm there. I want to be in something like that when they turn it on. It's fun. So anybody want to join, you know?
Oh, definitely.
That's all I'm saying. I know you'll be there. You won't be there.
I won't be there on PC, you're right.
Jumpgate's only going to be PC, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Jumpgate has a bigger question mark behind it right now, though, as far as time. So
my plan is, like, if everything goes like I'm hoping, and, you know, both versions launch at the same time, I'll pick it up on 360 and PC.
Sure.
You know, if both can play together, because I imagine that's something Becky will get into, too. And we'll both want to play at the same time, so.
Makes sense.
You know, one of us could play on the 360, the other on the laptop.
Oh, that would be, dude, that would be awesome. I would, like.
Or, you know.
Throw Dana in the console room and lock the door and be like, have fun!
Yeah!
You're playing.
Or, like, you know, if we've got the PC and 360 version.
Don't launch
like,
Peggle.
We could both log in on our laptops and turn the TV on, too. Because, I mean, you know, MMOs don't require you to have the disc in the drive.
Right.
Well, for a PC. That'd be ridiculous.
No, man. That's a very wonderful world to think about. I sure hope it works out to be something even remotely like that. I just, my fear and my suspicion is that it's not going to come anything close to that. It's not going to even. The reality of the situation is going to be, like, console guys come late to the party, play on, you know, console guy servers, and do all those sorts of things.
I hope not.
No, I'm not hoping for it at all. You got to believe me.
Oh, I believe you. I just wish you'd stop talking about it, because, you know, you're harshing my mellow here.
I know, I'm sorry.
Because it feels really good to think about. So.
I know, it really, really does.
I'd love to see the superpower, and you see the power arc, and see what they have for their trees and everything, to see, like, you which what? Way, you know, see the, for champions, see
about?
The
oh, yeah, okay.
The power trees, to see, like, you know, like, what, you know, what you could pick and how you could go as a character.
Right. I don't know.
See, are they going to be like City of Heroes?
This
or?
Game is so much built of expectations at the moment, yeah. And not even like what it's actually built of. I have no fucking clue what's actually going on in this goddamn game. I've seen a couple of pictures, and I'm like, hero things! Yeah!
Is it going to be campy like City of Heroes, or is it more serious, I wonder?
It's pretty campy from what I've played.
Very okay.
Campy,
yeah. Good.
Yeah, it's very City
from
of Heroes.
From the very little time I had it with it at PAX... Champions, right?
Yeah.
Okay. From the I had to get up and go. Very little time I spent with it at PAX, which it crashed whatever system I was playing. Yeah. You know, it crashed on yours, didn't it?
Yeah, it crashed on me.
Yeah, that's right.
And the guy was like, huh, well, that hadn't happened before. You yeah. found a bug.
Yes.
And I was like, all right.
Yeah, it was...
Do I get a shirt?
Camping, yes. But still, I liked what I was playing, but...
I mean, did it feel like City of Heroes in a way?
No.
Okay.
No, it's its own.
Yeah, because that's the only thing I really have to base it on.
Because I was looking, when I was playing it, I was like, where's my power tray? Where's my, you know, I was like, where are those things I'm familiar with City of Heroes? Not there.
It was fun, though.
All right. Yeah. I'm excited.
So, don't worry. Who's playing what?
Yeah, what are you playing? Here, you got to
you need to get over to the microphone there.
All right. Let's see. I got on, PS3 and started playing Ninja Gaiden Sigma. Found it for like $20 on the Greatest Hits line.
Still got chipped. Whatever. It's hard.
Yeah, and I found that the only reason, in my opinion, the only reason it's hard, there's no strafe or lock-on option because all the hits that I was taking was coming from behind, and I had a hard time tracking the enemies. That's really the only thing.
I just suck. I don't even throw it up to gameplay mechanic. I'm just like, man, I'm horrible.
No, I mean,
at this game.
I don't know. It's just something that I was used to in terms of action games, like being able to focus on the one enemy that could really do the most damage to you. That's what I was looking for. But apparently, he just swing and pray with the sword and hope you hit the right guy.
Those guys were okay to get through. It was the boss fights that were.
No, just do a lot of moving around and jumping.
Not
so
fun.
That's what I was reduced to, really, on that one. I mean. It's that, like I was saying, it's the only reason I think it's difficult is because I don't have those two options that I was so used to in games of that fashion, like being able to lock on or strafe. Because when you hold your block, you're just stuck there. Mm. Other than rolling around the screen, I wanted to do it slowly instead of suddenly getting myself in the right position to attack the way I wanted to. But it's just not happening with that one. Maybe they did something to improve that on Sigma. I'm two.
Two, like I said, I don't know if I said this on the air, if we said this when we were off one time, but two, I got a lot further in two than I did in one.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, I understood things a lot more in two than I did in one, mm-hmm. whatever was going on. But I finally got to a boss fight that was so very annoying. I replayed it many times, and I stopped, and then took a few days, went back to it, still had the problem with it, and now I think Jeremy's got my copy of the game. I think you still have it, don't you?
Ninja Gaiden?
Two.
I don't know.
Okay. He may or may not have my copy of the game, but I got to that point and I was like, well, screw this. I don't want to play this anymore.
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about playing this anymore ever.
I know I still got your Uncharted and Resistance. I'll bring those back to you.
Yeah. Bring those back to me.
Every time I see them, I need to put these by the door so I remember, and I never remembered to bring them, so...
But yeah, do you play anything else?
Let's see, I played some Guilty Gear Accent Core that recently came out for the PS2, a one-on-one fighting game, latest incarnation of that. Had a lot of fun with that last night. No online feature on that anyway, so I'm just playing that by myself. Other than that, played tried to play Resident Evil 5 on professional level, where you can get hit with a bottle and die one shot.
That doesn't make you sound like much of a professional.
I know.
Don't throw the bottle at me. It hurts. I die. Yeah, people like a challenge. I understand that.
Well, it's a challenge, all right, yeah.
I just, for whatever reason, I've never been drawn to When I'm done with the game, I'm done with the game.
Mm-hmm. You played 2, right? You played Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
Okay. I know stuff you've been able to do,
mm-hmm.
right? I know that, like, because Scott may poke fun at the hardness of your game playing, but I also am aware that, like, you've gone entirely through House of the Dead in the arcade on, like, one quarter or some shit before. I'm aware of this shit. I understand, like, where you've been with things that are considered difficult in games.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do the hunk stuff at the end of RE2? Because I've never personally met, like, you want to talk about fucking insane? Like, you know, we've told you about the hunk shit at the end of Resident Evil 2. You just weren't paying attention. That's why you got that look on your face.
Yeah.
But, like, if you beat the hunk thing, I'm trying to remember exactly what the criteria were, but you could, like,
I think you have to get an S rating.
Yeah, you could basically play through
this tofu.
The fucking thing as a block of tofu.
Yeah,
with
a knife. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So you have to go through what is already an extremely arduous little mini mission as a hunk of tofu. Right. You're bean curd, and you
with
have a knife.
Helium enhanced voiced. I remember that much.
And you have a knife. I'm just saying, like. Like, I hate major difficulty problems in other games just because I'm not that great at them and I just want to have fun. But, like, I always kind of think back to that. I'm like, well, at least I'm not a hunk of bean curd with a knife. Because that would suck.
I think it had a beret, too.
I was about to
add. Yeah, it had a beret.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a beret.
And he would, like, change color the more he got hurt.
Yeah, he turned red.
Turned red. Really red, dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I
remember that. I remember that now when you said the tofu. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
See,
it was unlocked. It was a.
Do you remember that by playing that? Because, like, we. I don't remember. Oh, I remember it because I saw it on video and pictures.
Magazines. I never got to see it in person.
What I remember most about that part is that I didn't get very far.
Right.
I don't remember that much. Other than that, the hardest thing about that after Extra Game in Resident Evil was Code Veronica when you had to go from the prison. Where Claire was, and you had to go all the way to Alexia in her castle or whatnot. And I tried it with Wesker, and all you had with Wesker was like a herb, a knife, which was really powerful in Code Veronica, and a magnum, and no other bullets.
Right.
Oh yeah, it was six shots of magnum, and the only way to beat it was to use the knife throughout the whole thing and save all the magnum ammo for Alexia at the end. You could not use the magnum for anything throughout the game until you got to Alexi.
Hardest thing for me in Code Veronica was finding those glasses.
Yeah, man. I'm still looking for those motherfuckers.
Yeah, we've been over the glasses a few times, haven't we?
I just don't need that kind of stress.
No stress in the gameplay, no. We're supposed to be doing this for fun, right?
Yeah, speaking of stressful gameplay, I loaded up Homeworld again.
Did you?
Yeah. Just, you know, I'm trying to get some more into...
First one?
Yeah.
That's a good fucking game, dude. Holy shit, that was a good game. Except for that one mission.
Well, towards the end?
Yeah, it was hard.
Was that I remember seeing it. Was that the one where you're close to the Dyson sphere?
No.
Or is that past that?
The one where, it was the one where you're traveling through the... I always had a big problem with this mission. One where you're traveling through an asteroid field.
See, I didn't even get that far.
Asteroids as they're coming to blow your shit up.
Okay.
It was really fucking hard for me. Really, really great missions in that game, though.
I don't think I ever got that far.
Me neither.
I got to a minefield, I believe.
Oh, right on.
Which whipped my ass a few times. I was like, I need to take a break from this. I didn't go back to it.
It was not... It was tough.
It was tough.
But it was fun because of spaceships.
Yep.
So, what are you going to do, right? We should be getting 3 at some point, though. Because Relic got the name back. They got basically Relic owns... I might be wrong about this. I'm sure somebody...
No,
I think that's right. Relic got it back. Which is good because those guys are truly itching, I think, to do something.
The story was really excellent, and I remember the booklet.
Great.
You know, the story that came in the booklet. I remember reading that.
It wasn't a booklet.
Well,
let off the end, man. That was like a serious piece. Like the first 10% of that book was about here's how you play the game. The rest of it was the fiction of the universe.
Yeah, this is why we're out in space.
Yeah, here's you know, at least one chapter on each of the different houses, the different families and everything. Really great story, really great writing, really great it's like stepping into that kind of three-dimensional stuff. It was just, it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. Never played the expansion with or two, but screw around two a little bit, but it's not here. Oh god, yeah, it was a good game. All right, so I just hooked it up. I clawed my way over the last 10 Microsoft points so that I could afford Fallout expansion material.
Oh yeah,
I got over the pain of that of having 790 points. And I was just like, fuck you, and I just went and bought 1,000 points so I could afford both, you know, Anchorage and Pit. I didn't. My game started like having fits on me and stuff, man. And so it took me a really long time, and I had planned on finishing both before this episode because I really wanted to talk about the Pit. I mean, Anchorage, like, whatever, you know, but there's been a lot of positive talk about the Pit, and a lot of people have said really good things about it to me, so I wanted to play it, but I was having a lot of trouble with the client. I don't know what it was, and I hate this, I hate it, but, like, I got fairly heavily into modding the game. Nothing that would, like, ruin the structure of the story or the world, because I was still progressing through it, but I was toying around with a lot of mods, and once I beat the game, I walked away from it, and it's been a couple few months, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. like 2.5 months. And now I can't remember how any of that stuff works really well. So I have to, like, I basically need to, like, start over from scratch and be like, okay, now I got to relearn, like, what I was doing with this thing, because I haven't even touched it in a while. But apparently something that I had done was, like, causing all sorts of fits. So, like, trees and shit were floating up in the air in Anchorage, and I was like, well, this is kind of ruining my suspension of disbelief. So, I need to fix this. So I did a lot of fixing that and started playing Anchorage, and I just didn't even get finished with Anchorage over the weekend, so I am still playing that. And, like, I guess, you know, I've heard that the second half of it, like, past the part where I just finished, gets better, but... And I knew all of this before, and certainly not acting like I didn't know, but, like, I kill a guy, you know? I'm in this... It's a simulation. I'm in the simulation, and I kill a guy. And, like, I run up to take a shit, you know? But, like, it's a simulation, so he just sort of, like, de-reses. He just disappears, you know?
Yeah.
And it's... It really did what everybody said, just... turned it into a shooter.
The only reason to play it, in my opinion, is for
the
yeah.
That's it.
The gun and the stealth suit. And the sword.
I paid $10 for a sword and a suit that I don't get until I've beaten the simulation.
Yeah.
I knew that. Whatever. It's the Pit that I'm most looking forward to. So
that one's going to, for me, I'm going to have trouble with one achievement. I'm going to try 100%, as with everything with Fallout 3. But it's in the Pit, you have to find these little pieces of metal.
Yeah.
You have to find 100 of them.
Right.
And that one's just going to be a pain in the ass, I could tell. Because they're scattered.
PC?
No, 360.
Oh, okay. That's cheap. You know what?
It's no, it's no agility orbs.
Mm, no.
That's true.
That's the most fun collecting I've ever had. Especially when there's 500 of them, and you're down to your last three.
It really was fun when you start.
Fuck those last three.
Oh, it was great.
Those
and
last
then every
three
now and again,
exist.
You'd be driving along like...
Wait, I hear
where
buzz.
Are we going? Hold on. I hear something. I gotta look. Hold on. Oh, God, it was great.
Oh, and then somebody when you could co-op, you'd be like, do you have one here? Right here, where I'm jumping up and down. Do you have one here? I have one here. Do you have one here? Right here, where I am. I'm jumping on it. I'm right where it is. Right? No, right here. Okay, you know what? All right, what about here? Do you have one here? Right here.
Did you and Matt play this together or something?
I think Scott and I were the only people who played it. Scott's the only guy I played it with.
No, you jumped in one time and gave me some weapons.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that probably was with Matt then. Okay.
Do what?
Thanks.
Oh, fuck no, man. I don't ever do that. I don't ever look for it. I'm like, man, the instant I get tired of collecting something, I'm like, I'm done. I'm finished. I don't give a fuck.
I don't remember who it was telling me they jumped back into Crackdown, like, just a little bit ago for the first time in a long time. And, like, they had, you know, only had 5 agility orbs left, and they just, like, happened upon all of them.
Oh, Jesus.
I was like, you fucker.
Yeah, yeah. Because if I put my disc back in and just went screwing around, I would never find those last three. Not on one of them.
No, I think you would. I think you would have an easier time if you were to just like restart the game and methodically like grid your way through everything.
Let me tell you, when I found my last one, I looked long and hard at it before I decided, okay, I'm going to take you.
Of course, I tried. I tried doing that very thing with the Grand Theft Auto pigeons.
Yeah,
yeah.
Apparently, I missed one somewhere because I never got the achievement.
Good job.
God. Fuck collectibles, man. Yeah. Fuck them. Oh.
Anyway, on with the... what I was going to say, the mod that puts greenery in Fallout.
All right, somebody... I'm not... Like, I don't necessarily...
It's called Oasis.
All right, here's... All right, look. Two things. A, no, really, it looks like Oblivion? Yeah. Okay, thanks. B, this mod's been out for 3 months. Greenery mods have been out since the fucking game launched. Like, since the first guy, like, started modding the thing. I don't understand. I thought this was, like, some different... I thought this was something different. Mm-hmm. And when I started seeing it, like, hit every single news site. And, so I followed the link, and it's like, no, this is the link to the Fallout 3 Nexus site where this was posted. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, last updated, you know... The description was last updated 21st of January. Like, it's been out forever. And it's actually a perfectly reasonable mod to put in the game. One, because, you know, there's no reason to think the greenery wouldn't have come back anyway. I mean, it's not necessarily going to die just because everything is irradiated. Greenery is like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can see good evidence of that.
Chernobyl.
At Chernobyl. Yeah. Like, there's plenty of
the
that.
Greenery's fine. It's the critters that don't do so well.
B, assuming you're past a certain point in a certain quest, Matt knows what I'm talking about, up at Oasis, like, it's not only okay to use this mod.
I would recommend it.
I not only recommend it, it would kind of have been nice if over time... They had built in some sort of calculated increase.
That would have been
there. Nice. There is actually a reasonable, logical way to put this mod in the game and not have it even. You don't even have to fan wank it. It's just like it actually makes more sense that stuff is green now, because there's a very specific quest line, alternate. Like it's some little thing, probably one of the better ones in the game.
Cool.
Particularly if you're a fan of past Fallout games. Yeah, see, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Where, because you hear Three Dog talk about it all the time, like place where there's trees and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You find the place, you do a quest, and there's, if you finish the quest a certain way, that grows out beyond the place where you are.
Yeah,
It basically, and at first you're thinking, like, this must be attached to the Gek, but it isn't. It's just, it's this other thing, so... I think it would have been really cool if, like, from that point, you know, it had started radiating out to the rest of the world over time. Would have been a neat thing, but I think it's a great mod. It's perfectly reasonable that it would be there. But I don't understand it. Like, it's been there for a minute, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a lot of really fantastic mods available for Fallout if you finished all the story stuff. Like, there's people out there doing a lot of their own fiction, creating a lot of their, One of the only things that's been, like, really disturbing to me about the game is that it looks like the war is, like, 5 minutes old.
Yeah.
When it's not. It's actually much, much older than that. And there's very few places that look like they've put their shit together at all. Like, one of the first things, like, you know, you'll excuse the enormous gulf between the two things I'm about to analogize, but, you know... Within, like, minutes of the tornado hitting our house last year, I was, like, straightening shit up. I was like, well, I don't know what else to do, so I'm going to sort of pick shit up. And let's see, this is now trash, so it goes over here. This is still good, so I'm going to stand it back up. Like, that's kind of how it was. Clearly, that's not exactly on the scale of, like, nuclear devastation, but for God's sakes, you motherfuckers in Rivet City... Could you please sweep that shit up out of the corner? Could you turn that table over so it can be used as a table? How long has that table been sitting upside down?
You really need a motorcycle inside the battleship.
Yeah, it's like,
Or, I mean, carrier.
Would you please clean up a little bit? Yeah. And some places there's a lot of evidence of that. I mean, Megaton was constructed out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that's pretty cool. But, like, these motherfuckers over here in this place can't even, like, pick up this pile of shit and move it out of the way so that this general area would be functional? Like, what the fuck? I just think it was really poorly represented in that way. And given, like, the sort of, like, time and whatever that a modder will put into the game, you can actually kind of see that stuff start to happen. Like, what the hell was it? Place was tied into the Moresti storyline, you know, where the vampires are attacking and whatever.
Erefu?
Yeah, Erefu. Like, there's a lot of, like one of the first really cool mods I found was, like, you know, some dude, like, built Erefu into a better thing. You know, like, expanded it and extended it and added, like, walkways and, like, a little bar and all this other stuff. I was like, wow, it's pretty fun, cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All these little pockets of civilization begin to grow more organized and begin to expand a little bit more. I actually like what that did to the game world. So, yeah, you know, just like, in a lot of ways, just like Oblivion, like, they deliver a good framework of a game, and then the mod community finishes it. Something that, regrettably, the console guys will never see.
No.
But, yeah, it's a good mod. Highly recommended. If it's important to you at all that it fit into the realm of your world, go up to Oasis. I'm just saying. It'll be clear which option you need to take in the quest in order to make the rest of your world green. It'll be nice. And it's, you know.
I killed him.
Really?
Yeah.
He's too interesting.
I know, but I mean, I've been dealing with him for.
He's not even there, but I know you're talking about.
I've been dealing with him for two games.
But he's
previous.
He's just too. I couldn't do it. I'm like, I'm sorry. I know you're miserable as shit, but I don't really give a shit. Like, you're too interesting to me. I cannot not have you in the world. I'm sorry.
And have you gone back and seen him, like, in, like, the first one and the second one with, like, his little twig and how it grows bigger? And, you know, I really liked that they put him in there and the progression that he took.
It was a very good addition. It was really, really good tip of the hat to people who had paid attention to what came before. So I am at a point now where it's like, okay, I kind of want to, like, I want to be in Fallout some more. So I'm hoping Broken Seal's not that far away.
Yeah.
These two I know are just little samples of something to do. And then maybe I can fuck around with mods a little bit more, but...
You know, if, you know, was it Intellivision, the people who made the first ones, Infogames?
No. God damn it.
I could see the world, I could see the plane circling it.
Why'd you do that?
It was one. I don't know. Starts with an I.
Yeah, I know.
Those guys. If you know, when they come out with their Fallout MMO, I'm all gonna be all over that.
All right, man. Just like, I'm not saying you shouldn't be. I will be.
I
too.
Still got tactics.
But
you know,
like,
Brother of Steel was terrible. But
there's a million things in the world that would make great MMOs. There are not a million companies who can make good MMOs.
Yeah.
There are apparently only a few, and that's a top-heavy MMO. You're talking like you can't really do that without. That's a lot of world building, dude. That's a lot of world building.
We've been burnt before on, you know, properties that we really love.
Yeah.
You know, like Galaxies, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a stormtrooper. That's all I wanted to do in Galaxies. I want to be a stormtrooper, have my little post that I, you know, garrison around, and just do that. But no, I can't do that. And the game was really terrible.
Yeah.
You know, everyone wants to be a Jedi. I'm like, no, just give me some armor.
It's just tough, dude. It's tough. It's almost impossible now to build something like that. The expense is almost incalculable. And for what? The possibility of good returns?
Yeah.
Like, and you want to talk about a group of people that have grown fickle as all hell. It's like, you MMO fans will turn a cold shoulder to your shit, like, really, really goddamned fast. I mean, as evidenced by the failure of Age of Conan, as evidenced by, like, the I'm not saying, like, they're in dire straits necessarily, but the difference between launch of Warhammer Online and the current state of Warhammer Online, like, it's significantly different. And it's not that old a game. So you look at something like Fallout MMO and you're like, yeah, magnificent. Who's got the money?
Yeah.
Who's got the time? Who's got the people? Who's got the resources? Like, I don't have any faith in it anymore. I don't have... I mean... I swear to God, man, I would be so happy if somebody came out with... I'm totally sorry, by the way, if you don't give a shit about MMOs. I really am. Like, I'm really sorry about that. But whatever.
Chances are they've stopped listening this far.
Yeah, it's happened. This happens every
like
now.
The MMOs.
If give me a goddamn top-down isometric 2D world and an MMO again. Seriously, give me. What was that shit you used to come over to the house and play?
Nexus.
Yeah. Like. Honest to God, if your shit's tight under the hood, I am at a point where I'm really, really willing to grant a lot of concessions graphically. Like, because I don't even necessarily mean just in an MMO, but like in games in general, I feel so burdened, and it's not even my burden, but I feel the burden of like amazing graphics. Like, that shit's gotta be hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, really, really fucking hard. And I feel like it occupies so much of what game design must be that I would really rather sometimes experience things that are a little simpler just for the knowledge that they'll probably work a lot better. I remember, man, you remember you used to bring that shit over to the house and, like, hook into our...
The style is kind of what attracted me to it in the first place. It looked like a 16-bit Super NES Final Fantasy game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I swear to you, man, I could actually kind of get behind something, obviously not quite that simple, but something, you know, a hell of a lot simpler than...
That was like, it was 10 years ago now.
Yeah, it was.
99.
Yeah, it was.
That's when we met.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think about
a Fallout MMO, and I'm like, well, I'll tell you what. You make it look like Fallout 1, like, I actually think you've got something there.
Yeah.
And it isn't even a desire for retro. It's not even a need to feel that old school vibe. I don't need that goddamn vibe. What I need is something you can afford to make. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, and I'm also not talking about, like, infinite hand-drawn 2D backgrounds, because that's not exactly simple or easy. But for God's sake, man, like, 2D is not evil. Simple graphics are not something to be ashamed of or afraid of anymore, and I just feel like it would do us a lot of good if we could kind of step back at some level and make something... I don't know. I said this before, but, like... You know, if I had an MMO that looked like the Source Engine, which is apparently, you know, now, like, a horribly outdated piece of technology, right? But, you know, or at least, like, somewhat tragically outdated. Like, you know, every weekend or every evening, whenever I pop into a game of Day of Defeat, I'm like, man, this doesn't look that bad. Like, it's a little boxy. It's a little, you know... It's not curvaceous and subtle, and, like, every surface doesn't gleam with unnatural bloom. But, like, I can, like, work with this world, you know? I can work with something like this. I really wish people would just... I don't know, man. Am I asking for, like, budget graphics in an MMO or something? I don't know, man. I just, like... I'm just fucking terrified of MMO development now. Yeah. Terrified of what has to be really phenomenal expense. And I swear to God, like, just make it look like Link to the Past or something.
You know, how many people could fork out that money?
I'm just saying, if it plays good.
See, I mean, the only other real property that I want to see in an MMO that I would, you know, pay right now for would be MechWarrior. If Microsoft and FAFSA would, get off their ass.
Yeah.
If they would make a MechWarrior MMO,
really well.
I think that whole world just lends itself.
It's also very suitable. And you've actually, you know, we were talking before the show about, you know, like Firefly MMO. And it's like, wouldn't that be brilliant? It's a wonderful piece of world building that nobody's actually
done anything
worked
with.
In. Yeah. You know? That's really, really cool. Lots of room for expansion. The thing about MechWarrior is the same way, which is really great. The fiction is fucking there, man, like going way back. So is the game mechanic. So is the majority of your balance and your unit creation. It's already there. It's been there for 20 years, just about.
Yeah.
Around, yeah.
like, it's already been there. All you have to do is basically translate it into another form. So you wouldn't have to, you know.
Actually, longer than 20 years.
Is it really?
Yeah, because I remember, like, around 87 playing Battletech.
Okay. Yeah. So, really, a lot of it's already there. A lot of the groundwork in terms of how all that stuff happens is already in existence. So, oh, my God. But that leads you to another thing, is properties that are languishing in somebody's, you know, Ark of the Covenant warehouse somewhere.
Yeah, they're too busy making, you know, Mech Assault, you know, power-up games instead of a simulator.
Yeah.
Or something better. Play as my clan.
I'm sure.
Kevin would be Inner Sphere, I believe.
I think you'd wake up a lot of old Battletech dorks, too. Like, you'd see those motherfuckers crawling out of the woodwork. You talk about an MMO filled with old guys.
Yeah, yes. Man.
That'd be great.
I remember a few of them.
You are one of them.
Yeah, I am one of them.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. I remember when Aerotech first came out back in the day and the pen and paper stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was great.
I don't know. It's really, really fucking tragic. Yeah. Fallout MMO, sure. Great. Make it look like Fallout 2, and I'm there with you.
That would be... I think that'd be really interesting.
Yeah. I do, too.
I can see that.
All right, well, three stories I want to hit.
All right.
We'll get to some mail.
All right.
BioShock 2 gameplay.
Oh, yeah. Saw that.
Hit on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Man, she is fast.
Well, yeah, she moved very fast, but I thought... A lot of it that didn't involve her, I thought I was playing BioShock again.
Only slower. I mean, because you walk slower.
I guess so. It's been a while since...
It did have that weight. To me, it seemed like it had that weight of the Big Daddy, whereas, you know,
There were two things out in front of you, two things I want to talk about. We saw BioShock 2 gameplay, mm-hmm. and we got details and saw Assassin's Creed 2 stuff.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed 2
Everybody
stuff.
Who got their Game Informer in the mail?
Well, that
and or saw it online or whatever.
It broke on online. Where it was taking place, some involvement, the look of the character, everything was there. For me, the Assassin's Creed 2 stuff totally outweighed the BioShock 2 footage. I was way more interested in what was going on with Assassin's Creed 2 than I was that footage of BioShock 2.
Me too. I mean,
even more so than I am now. Not as interested near what I was with BioShock 2.
My level of expectation hasn't changed for BioShock 2 one bit, based on the footage. I'm like, okay, this is what it looks like. Like, I get it. I am no less or more going to play this game now.
I mean, they told us up front. They're like, oh, this is, you know, you're going back to Rapture.
Yeah.
You're going back, and this is the way it's going to be. But
And it was what they said it was.
It was exactly.
That's really great.
And to the point that I was disappointed. I don't know what I was expecting, but
yeah, I still don't see the point of a BioShock 2. I mean, narrative wise or gameplay wise, BioShock 1 just kind of fulfilled for me what it set out to do.
Did you see the footage for BioShock 2?
No, I hadn't. All
right. Well, when you watch it,
it's not gonna have any effect on your expectations.
Yeah, it's not.
It's like shoot this guy, bang him with the drill, shoot this guy, blow him up, set him on fire, shoot this guy. She runs around, she breaks the glass. Now you're underwater. Woo-ha, BioShock 2.
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, there you go.
Pulp
Fiction.
I'm starting to feel like a like BioShock 2 is going to be a pass for me. There's plenty of other stuff to play. Unless it comes out in a drought period, I don't see myself playing it. So
it's not coming out in a drought period.
No.
Pigs of dirt.
No. I don't even know that one of those exists anymore. So.
Yeah.
But,
I've been there, done that.
Well, it's not bad. It's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, BioShock happened, and it's like, you know, all right, that was BioShock.
Yeah.
I didn't like the way it ended, but I think that was BioShock, and that was pretty good, you know? There you go. Now it's like, you're going back there, you're this totally different thing, and, like, we've created this other reason for you to be there. And it just sort of feels like...
I know we've already had this discussion, but do the next thing.
Yeah, please.
Don't just go back and do BioShock again. Yeah. Do the next thing.
Well, see, and this is what's so funny. And, again, gotta play it. Don't worry. It's going to be excellent. And it may actually be great that this time everybody's going to be like, I don't know, and like maybe it'll turn out to be fucking phenomenal. Right. I don't care. I am going to play the game. I am going to get it on the first day it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Done. That conversation's over. Doesn't matter. Fine. Show me more gameplay footage. Don't show me more gameplay footage. It doesn't matter. I'm going to play your game. But in light of that statement, do the next thing. You want to talk about doing the next thing? Assassin's Creed 2 is the very picture of doing the next thing. Mm-hmm.
All I saw was the picture of the new guy. I forget his name. I don't even know how to pronounce his name.
Enzio.
Enzio.
Yeah, Enzio.
I like that.
Heard from Reboot?
I don't know.
What the wrong with you?
It just hit me. It just struck me. What the hell is that character's name from Reboot?
Don't worry about it. No, don't.
But I like the dual little springy guys.
I didn't like that.
Really? Because I think that'd be great. You can dual compress.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be great to stick people in the neck with two.
Twice?
Because of course it would.
My problem is it's like, well, Assassin's Creed 2, so you gotta have like two. And I'm like, ooh. I think I pretty much said that in the thing, and I'm like...
Makes me wonder what they're going to do for Assassin's Creed 3.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for going there. This is why we've always invited you along.
Sarcasm aside, the only thing I really noticed, I saw the teaser where they had the holy, the Da Vinci looking,
the Vitruvian Man.
Yeah, I thought that was really neat.
All right. Well, it is really, did you read the stuff about it?
I haven't gotten any form yet.
I'm sorry, you're right. You just said you just saw the artwork.
Yeah.
I like a lot of what they did. Dude is like straight up some kind of like serious Batman in this one, though. Because he's a nobleman who's, it's like right smack in the middle of the Renaissance. Italy isn't Italy. It's, a bunch of, little city-states, vying for, influence and power and all these other things. And he's a prominent member of a prominent family. Wealthy, well-to-do. At some point, under some circumstance, slips into this whole assassin persona, whether it's extant or whether something happens, whether it's transformative or whether it's an alter ego. I don't know. But, I got, strong Batman vibe coming off of it. Just the way they described it. It's like... Nobleman becomes vigilante, sort of. Yeah. Not to mention, the article casted in the whole James Bond Q thing, but I really, I felt the Batman thing really strongly.
Only so because, they could try and distance you from thinking Batman.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what it is.
Because, Da Vinci basically plays Q.
Nice.
Where he, whoops up all these gadgets, for old boy.
Sure.
He's the one that, did all of these things for him. I'm like, it's all right. I can see a lot of fun there, Clearly, that's preposterous, but there's no reason. There's just enough ambiguity in the history of all that sort of stuff that, you can kind of slip this story in there, which I really enjoy. I like watching people fill the cracks of history with their own fiction.
Sure, yeah.
That's really fun for me. And it's exactly what they're doing here, and it looks brilliant. And it's, they've slipped away from, and this actually is very, historically fitting, is that they've moved away from, these walled fortress cities with nothing but wasteland in between, which was, that was actually perfectly fine. For that period,
right.
That
it was
era.
Setting in that time, yeah, it was totally.
This is more like your typical open world, expansive, whatever type of thing, densely populated, but relatively uninstanced type of deal, I guess. There's any number of things they could do along the lines of the original Assassin's Creed, to sort of compartmentalize the experience. But I was I liked what I saw. I was like, I like the time period. I really like the setting. It's almost a perfect fit for what we want to do, where we want to go, the types of things you really expect him to be able to do, but there's enough room for, innovation in what he did. I was really turned on by it. I wasn't one of those people that had a problem with Assassin's Creed. I didn't mind that it was repetitive because the thing I was repeating was really fun for me.
I never had a problem with it either.
And I could totally see I'm having issues with it, so whatever. I did think the separation of the kingdom and the cities was really sort of jarring. It was man, I don't know how much of time I want to spend out in the kingdom. Wasn't really... always felt really inconvenient to be there.
Yeah.
But two, man, two. It's like... It's good. I'm excited about two. BioShock 2 footage proves to me that there's BioShock 2. Like deep down in my guts. I'm like, all right, there it is. I believe in it. This, though, was really exciting for me. And I'm really hoping that I'm expecting a lot from it. Because I had a lot of fun with Assassin's Creed. I really liked the story, really liked the gameplay. So, I don't know. I know you feel the same way.
No, totally, yeah. I'm very much so.
Yeah, go read the rest of the stuff. Go read the
I did get my issue in.
The heart of that article. Because it was really, really good. The other thing in that issue that I thought was kind of... I don't know, man. What do you think about Mag? That's basically what I...
I didn't read the article. I did see it in there, but I didn't read that article on there.
Which game?
Massive action game.
Mag. It's for the PlayStation 3.
For the PS3. It's the guy... It's from the... Zipper?
Yeah.
Those are the guys who made SOCOM. Before they passed it off to the other guys who are making SOCOM now. They're making...
How many players? 200?
256.
256 players.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm confused a bit about what they're doing. A lot of it will seem familiar from PlanetSide. A lot of the concept of what they're doing.
Yeah.
But what's... The only thing that really gets me is that these don't... Basically, they just want to do a massive action game. That's what they want to do. They're using three factions.
Mm-hmm.
If I understand it correctly, it's factional warfare, with each faction having persistent gains, but not in a massive or persistent world. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, these 256-player matches are just that. They're matches.
Okay.
And I'm a little bit... I'm really curious how that's supposed to... how that works. And I say that because I've done plenty of sitting around waiting for teams to balance during the intermission on Call of Duty 4. Like, and that's annoying. I'm curious how you build a 256-player match. A 256-player battle is easy for me to conceive. I've been in them before. But a match, that like this, something that is not persistent, but something that is like, you know, this is this match. Like, this mm-hmm. is this particular round of conflict. I'm not sure how you build that. I'm not sure how you get that to happen.
Nobody's ever really gone for that scale on the console before, either.
No, they really haven't. And I totally believe that can happen. Mm-hmm. I'm curious how you build the structure of that gameplay. How you get that many people together. And because you basically sign up for a faction. You know what I mean? Like, you can apparently change it later, but, like, when you create your character, and your character has persistence, statistical persistence, but you join a faction. You claim allegiance to a faction. So you don't... It isn't like, you know, oh, I've been auto-balanced onto the counter-terrorist team, you know, and they keep the game back. Like, it doesn't... It can't work that way.
Yeah.
Because you're locked into a particular faction. I don't know how this works. Because from what I understand, the battles aren't constantly raging.
It sounds fairly unique.
Yeah.
You say it's between three factions?
Yes, there are three factions.
Wow, so you're going to have to, like, you know, instead of just, you know, just two teams trying to balance, you have three teams trying to...
But at the same time, I don't think any particular match is between three teams. I think any particular match is between two.
Mm. Okay. And
then the way that their conflict is built has a lot to do with who's matched up where.
There's still a lot we don't know.
Yes, we know almost nothing in the whole scale of it, but it, like, it's damned interesting.
Yeah.
And unless I'm wrong, and, you know, we do this all the time, you know, in the no MMO successfully done console, PC, multiplayer together vein, where we are quickly reminded that that was Final Fantasy XI, I'm going to say that nobody has done this sort of thing before, and I'll be reminded that it's like this other game over here. Because, like, you know, still, regrettably, sadly, I have not played Warhawk. But it's the only thing I can think of that even comes remotely close to what they're doing. Because it's a game that relies on dedicated servers to play on the PlayStation Network. So I'm really, really curious about it, though.
The only other story I was thinking of was 6 Days in Fallujah.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
I read the same interviews you did, where everybody's like, see, soldiers don't mind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't imagine that they would. They actually have real problems. So, you know, I'm just saying. This guy that you interviewed, he probably actually got shot at in Fallujah. Yeah. So, you know, a clicky-pointy shooty game about Fallujah. Like, at the worst, I expected, like, some vet to say it was in poor taste.
Right.
But, no, it's not really... It's like, okay, you know.
And I think a lot of people were thinking that that's where it was going, was in poor taste. But, for the most part, it hasn't... No one's really spoken out against it.
Right.
Who you thought would, which would be people who were there.
Yeah.
That's, you know, though, I don't think that happens quite that often.
I don't think it does either.
I think it's people who weren't there who do most of the complaining.
Who like to do the complaining.
Exactly. On behalf of other people.
Well, you know, yeah, I think you're exactly right. That happens. You see that every day on your news channels. People complaining
for... Well, there's people that make careers out of doing that
exactly,
very thing.
Exactly.
You know, being professional complainers on other people's behalf.
Yeah, I don't know. True. I mean, it still feels a little bit weird. It's like, yeah, I even, like, know a guy who was there. So, I mean, like, on the interweb, you know, it's like, I guess I should send him a message. It's a thing, you know, it's like, I don't do that. I have really long hair and I'm kind of a hippie and, you know, whatever. Sort of a militant hippie, I guess. I don't know, whatever. I got no problem with it, you know, like... But at the same time, I'm like, never done any of that, so I'm not going to say whether it's, like, cool or not cool. I don't know. It comes up every now and then. It's like...
Do people make this big of a deal with like, World War II vets when you're playing...
Yeah, they do sometimes. But they do. It's just those guys are old. Well, I'm not lying. Like,
yeah,
it's true. And, like, it kind of came up again with World at War. It was like, well, this time it's Japanese. It's like, well... So... Well, they're Japanese. So, but it was a thing, you know? We had to talk about it for a minute. Like, wait a minute, is this okay? Like, now we're doing to the Japanese what we've been doing to the Germans for the last 15 years of video game. Like, is that... But that was a... It wasn't that it was somehow worse. It was that we hadn't dealt with it.
Okay.
We hadn't sort of digested that emotion, because we've been like, oh, well, it's Nazis, you know?
Yeah, you're trained to hate Nazis.
That's fine. It's like, well...
Killing Nazis is, you know, not that much different from killing zombies.
No. I mean, that's, just what, kind we, that's of okay, what we've equated right? it to. But, like, if you want to, like, cast...
I've been killing Nazis since the 8-bit days.
Yeah. If you want to cast it in a historical context, like, and, you know, like... They were real assholes in World War II. Like, Japanese were, like...
Oh, yeah. To everybody.
They're motherfuckers. Like, so, I'm just saying, like, we get along really well now. And that's cool. We were, you know, we did some pretty horrible shit too. I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
Nobody's done a video game about the firebombing of Dresden yet. That's, I'm just saying, like, there's some horrible shit out there. You want to examine it, whatever. Still fun game. So, and I'm able to separate those things. And I just have a suspicion that people who have actually been through it are able to separate it so much easier that they see it for the pointless mischief that it actually is, that it doesn't have nearly as much bearing on, like, real fucking problems and real issues and real war. And at the very least, if it does anything to draw people's attention to, like, what really fucking happened and, like, what real people really did, then maybe that's pretty good.
Yeah,
which is kind of the vibe I got off of what some of those published interviews with soldiers about 6 days in Fallujah. It's like, yeah, sure. Let them play it and talk about it and, like, realize that, like,
this is what we had to go through.
This is what happened or something. I don't know. Weird. I don't know. Yeah, I still don't know. Hold on, I'm thinking about it and I still don't know. So there you go. 6 days of Fallujah, sure.
Yeah. Were there any other stories you wanted to hit on before I move into...
Let me look one more time. I thought it was interesting that the 360 warranty now covers the E74 errors.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a quick little, like,
Well, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that what may have happened there was that they issued an update which actually changed the way the 360 reported it, so that a lot of the red rings then became E74 errors.
Interesting.
Which then were not covered by the warranty because it wasn't a red ring per se, but it was the same faults.
So they didn't think about it for a second before they added that. They're like,
well, it's just
because,
you know, if they find out about this,
nobody ever heard of an E74 error before, not that long ago.
Yeah,
and suddenly they're popping up just like red rings were, you know, all over the place.
Yeah,
so
I'm afraid to turn my box on. You know, I know it's probably gonna brick soon.
Yeah, it's going to brick soon. I swear,
brick it sooner rather than later, man.
Yeah,
we've had this conversation. What else was there? Infamous got moved up.
End of May, right?
May just 26th. Got less boring.
May just got less boring.
Well, I mean, June was like...
June's packed solid.
Yeah,
June's
so Infamous just popped up by like a week or two. Oh, yeah, that's very cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Painkiller gets a sequel.
Yeah, saw that.
Did I see that?
I saw
it. Yes, you did. I was over at your house, and you said, hey, did you see where Painkiller's getting a
sweet.
You had the story up on your fucking screen.
Clearly I did.
And we talked about it. Not made by the same People Can Fly group, but not that it needs to matter.
Painkiller was awesome.
They're not around anymore, are they?
I have no idea.
I think that was like their one...
Dreamcatcher was their
turns out they couldn't actually fly. So they're gone.
there was that.
Whatever, it's a good game.
Anything else?
I believe I can fly.
We don't need that.
No. I'm totally done. You should talk about some mail.
Email. We only got one email. Shame on you fuckers. You should send us more. We only got one. We need more. Everyone at ingamechat.net.
Who's the one guy that did good by us?
Matthew McFarland, otherwise known on COG as Iron Past.
All right.
I'm a little curious for you guys to kind of hash this out on the show, as I'd like to hear your opinions on digital distribution of games versus the used and rented game market. Obviously, there's hurdles for digital distribution, but laying those aside, there's really no way we can play like we do now should digital distribution take a larger hold. Obviously, you can't rent games anymore. I don't understand what he says by that. Sorry, GameFly subscribers. Demos might help, but
I guess he's talking about digital distribution. Yeah.
He said demos might help, but those are already out there, at least for bigger titles. But now you and your friend would have to buy anything you want to play. Also, prices would rarely fall, and you could never buy a used game for a fraction of the price, though Steam may be setting a precedent. I suppose another workaround might be similar to how you can rent movies off the Xbox Marketplace with a timed thing, but then you're at the mercy of the networks for your money's worth. I'd imagine the best solution is having the option of how you get your games, massive hard drive plus DVD drive, which James has touched on before, so maybe there's that. I'd actually love to have my game collection installed on my hard disk drive. I had a friend with a hacked Xbox One that could rip discs. Hey, so did I. A buddy of mine make me one that can do that. Thank you, Jeremy. Anyway, I'm starting to have the conversation. I'd like to hear more informed minds have, so have at it. And more informed minds, sure.
This is something we've talked about among ourselves quite a bit.
Yeah.
And we have talked about it on the show somewhat. I see a few key things here. One, it is going to happen. It is not a question of whether it will happen. It is a question of when it will happen. Little plastic discs are not going to be the way you sell video games.
Steam and Stardock are really pushing that.
Yes. There are things you have to say first. An literally unbelievable number of people still don't have the fucking internet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Much less broadband internet. This is not even necessarily harshing on Alabama, but where we live in like, you know...
For here, a metropolitan area.
Yeah. It's almost a pathological distrust of the internet among a lot of people. It's like, well, the internet? Like, I don't, what the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm. There's still like, spots where I have to say www. When I go through the address.
It's a thing, you know? And when you decide when it happens... There's really one thing you've got to fucking have, and that's the ability, Why does Gamefly work? Because the fucking post office, no bullshit, always gets you your stuff. Like, their percentage of failure is statistically insignificant.
And in a pretty timely manner, too.
Yeah, I mean, all things considered, like, you can grouse about the postman and his ways all you want, but, like, really, statistically, their failure rate is almost not worth mentioning. So, yeah, you want to deliver plastic discs through the mail in 3 days? Like, shit works really, really well. So how are you ever going to get network viability, A, to the point where it even physically can be plugged into all these houses, B, to a point where it can deliver this stuff at an appropriate speed with any degree of security or surety? Like, that's bad. That's hard. It's got to get better. I don't think it's got to get 100%, because while you are going to lose customers as you sort of move that direction, maybe we brought this up on the air the last time we talked about it. Lost in the Damned, right?
Right.
Lost in the Damned was a semi-ballsy move. It wasn't, you know, it was expansion material. It wasn't a full by-itself game. A lot of people have been turned away at retail when they go to buy the little box off the shelf that only contains a card, and they're explained to them, oh, well, you can't have this. In the simplest terms, you who are a psychopathic GTA fan, you don't get to have this. Like, by making that decision, they literally, drastically reduce the number of people that could buy their game. This has caused them no problems.
Yeah.
Because they have sold. That game has done very, very, very well.
Do you know how well the Tomb Raider did? Because I know the Tomb Raider also did the same thing.
Yeah, it did the same thing.
Fairly
well. I mean, not obviously.
I mean, as well, but, you know.
Nothing does.
For what they can.
Yeah, but I'm not even sure what Lost in the Damned has sold, but it is reviewed as a magnificent thing, and it has apparently succeeded, like, brilliantly. And that has proven enough of a point that, yes, you're going to lose customers when you do this. And I'm not saying, like, when the entire... You're not going to wake up one day and the whole industry is suddenly digital delivery. It's going to happen. And it's going to happen in relatively big steps, because it kind of can't happen in tiny steps, you know? Suddenly one day a game that you want, it's not going to be...
It won't be a retail box.
It won't be a retail box, you know? And you're going to start having to think about that trailer you live in. Like, out in that, you know, county with a population density of, like, 3 people per square mile. Like, well, you don't really get to, like, participate in what's going on, so you need to think about some sort of broadband solution. Like, moving to a city. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's going to move in that direction. And... Yeah, you know, it'll be plastic discs for a long time now, or whatever the hell else, like chips. I don't know. Maybe we'll get rid of discs and start selling things.
Well, you know, I've got a friend who lives out in bumfuck where he can't get anything other than dial-up internets and satellite.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting satellite internet and canceling his home phone.
Right.
He can get some cell service. And it was cheaper for him to get a cell and satellite internet than pay for a home phone out there. Good. And, like, he can't play multiplayer games on it, but he can damn sure connect to Xbox Live and buy shit now.
Yeah. Or, I mean, we talked about this before. The problem isn't, can it be done? Like, all the proof of concept, it's done with. It's already done. A lot of people have broadband. Like, enough people have broadband that if you develop a game and choose not to put it on anything other than a server somewhere, you can do just fine. You can do absolutely fine.
I'm sure it'll cut cost for developers.
It cuts a lot of costs, and it's fine. There's nothing. It's perfectly fine. So you have to, really all you got to think about are your problems. The things to make it work are already there. He mentions in the email the timed nature of
the rentals
of the rentals on Xbox Live. As far as I understand it, that shit works exactly the way they want it to. It's not... The perniciousness of DRM still sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, like, how it works in that function, like, as far as I understand it, it works well enough for them. Like, they don't... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I know what you mean.
And the agreement seems to be... There seems to be an agreement between people that are willing to pay for it and then willing to present it. you know, you rent this and then it disappears from your drive. And what have you gotten out of it? Well, you got to see it. Okay. Like, yeah. And there don't seem to be enough problems with it to cause, like, massive customer complaint. You know, like, it seems to work. And there's really no reason that you couldn't do that with games, with the exception of the fact that they'd be pretty big. But I don't know. I mean, what's the size of an HD movie download for rental? It's big, right? I mean, we're talking like...
Yeah. I think it's over a gig.
Gigabytes?
It depending on the compression, which usually the stuff you stream is compressed much more heavily than what's actually on a Blu-ray disc.
Right.
But yeah, probably about... 2 to 3 gigs for 720p at a decent bit rate.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I mean, 2 to 3 gigs is in the realm of
that's
the size
viable.
Of a game.
Yeah,
in a lot of instances, so it's not horrible. I don't see any reason why you couldn't do rentals in that way.
Of course, that sucks if your cable company starts capping your download.
Yeah, that gets into a whole nother.
Yes, it does. Yeah, it really does.
If it starts to go that way, that's going to be.
Oh, and I got to tell you, like.
The only cable providers interested in doing that are ones that want to prevent you from moving to watching your TV streaming instead of keep you from canceling your cable TV.
Yeah.
Guys that like Comcast, you know, who are testing that the caps out in markets where there is no competition. Not going to see little small guys like Nology, and you probably won't even see AT&T do things like that just because they don't have as much of an... You'll probably always be able to switch to DSL. And I know, like, a lot of people say terrible things about DSL service, but, man, we had it for a minute with, like, a dozen guys in a basement running off a single DSL connection. It was fine.
Yeah. It wasn't good, but this was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Under less-than-ideal circumstances.
Yeah.
So... And I mean, whatever. And you're not completely locked out either. You can simply do the thing they want you to do, which is exactly what I would do. I would not protest. I would not argue. I would barely even grouse. I would simply be like, what the fuck do I have to pay for you to take this goddamned cap off?
Mm-hmm.
Because there will always be that option. There will always be the uncapped, you pay more than this amount a month, which is an absurd amount. But thank you very much. Get the fuck away from my internet and just let me have my pipes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I will do that. I'm that kind of guy. I don't like... I know how much I really need the internet. And I know that my protestations don't work in the short term. So, whatever. Yeah, it's fraught with issues, man. There's tons of fucking problems. But it's like... It's already happening. It's already going that way. And for God's sake, like, we might see something completely oddball in the next 6 or 7 years that we couldn't have conceived of. Like, some sort of, you know, weirdo hard drive dock in every Best Buy, GameStop.
Yeah.
Like, plug your fucking hard drive into and download shit. Like pay download services. I mean...
Patent that, would you? Would you...
Do you think someone already hasn't?
I'm sure.
Do you think for half a second it hasn't already been dealt with in R&D somewhere?
I don't know. We come up with games that we pretty much have hope for.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, that sounds rational to me. And I, you know, I think about my DSi all the time now. And I keep thinking, like, I should get a game for it. Like, I don't really... I have this very strange thing where I don't actually want to go buy a game and put the cartridge in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to do that. I want to buy more stuff off the store. Like, I want to have, like, all my stuff right there on my cart. I'm like,
Something that seems to me like a
game in there. I'm really anxious for this whole thing to happen.
Something that seems like a no-brainer to me to develop in that sort of environment is a subscription service to new games, similar to GameTap,
yeah,
where you pay a certain amount a month and you have access to several publishers' new titles on release. As long as you maintain your subscription, you can continue to download and play new games.
Yeah,
that would help mitigate the, you know, rental thing kind of going away.
Yeah, and the only
save cost from the publisher,
mm-hmm, to some degree. In some situations, it would, and. You know, there's also the problem, like you've mentioned before, the ultimate fear of, I don't actually have a backup media,
mm-hmm,
for this. So what happens when...
it jumps back to our old question that we had last time.
What happens when the thing that verifies my download, what happens when the place where my download is supposed to be disappears? What happens when, you know, the overmind, like, gets switched off, you know? Well, I don't know. Like, you don't actually have a real thing. You're not actually left with a real thing. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I honestly don't know what to say about that. And I'm not... The only thing I can suggest is that the feeling that you should even have a real thing is probably a bit of an anachronism. Not even say, I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying, like, a world made of real things is less relevant in the future than a world made up of not real things. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, you at least understand what I'm saying. Like, this presumption that you pay money and you should actually have a physical thing.
Right.
As right as that may be, or wrong, and I'm not even sure that that even matters anymore. Like, I'm not sure in 20 years or whatever that that's even going to matter. That ownership is access.
I mean, Xbox Live Arcade's kind of that way, where, you know, I pay money and I don't have a real thing.
It's
but,
clearly already that way. We just haven't dealt with the eventuality, the problem of, like, I don't think you were here when we were talking about that. What happens when the next Xbox comes out, right? Well, if it's just like the 360, it's backward compatible with, you know, a number of Xbox titles. I can take that Xbox disc and I can put it in my 360 and I can play that game. Well, what happens to my copy of Braid or Castle Crashers or Symphony of the Night that I downloaded? What happens to these things on my next Xbox?
What happens to my DLC?
Yeah.
Yeah. What happens to these things? The assumption is that they are clearly already thinking about this, and that there is
probably to transfer hard drive.
No. I'm sure of it. Yeah. But again, like, does that continue forever? Does that continue past certain? You know, it's weird, man. But
does it just evaporate at some point?
I think we're all struggling with the idea that of a world without things, like, where you really need to comfort yourself by the fact that ownership will be access, not possession.
So
in the future, and maybe that's right, maybe that's wrong. Light your torches, spray paint your tags,
get the pitchforks.
So I guess like something like
do
that.
Whatever you got to do, but
you know, your DLC would be more issued to your user account than your actual box. That way, when you change user account,
no, which would be quite nice. Thank you.
Yeah, your user account would change, but you know, all your DLC, all your games, all that goes with your account, not with your hard drive.
Why didn't somebody think? They have thought of this.
Yeah,
Microsoft not necessarily has thought of this. It is kind
of tied. Didn't implement it.
Right. I mean, it's your gamer tag has some value as of ownership with the things that you've bought, sort of. But it's still tied to that fucking console. Tied to the console, not your hardware.
Right, yeah, the actual console.
It makes it a lot harder than, say, the movie industry, where you say,
Steam
you subscribe
doesn't work
that way,
right? Steam is, like, tied to your account.
Yeah, it is because
this is where the cloud thing.
Jeremy, I'm sorry.
But no, this is I don't know if you paid attention to it, but this is where the cloud thing comes in, because your settings for every game are tied to your box, physical settings for how everything is.
Your options,
One of the things they're trying to do now is they're pushing all settings, all preferences, all everything into the same space where your account information is. So that theoretically you could go from home to the cyber cafe and have everything be
all your key bindings,
all your key bindings, all of your settings, everything.
When I originally got Steam and I put it, you know, back in the days of when I bought Half-Life 2, I put it on my my desktop. And when I got my new laptop, I went ahead and loaded up Half-Life 2 and everything again. And I just downloaded Steam and I already said there, bam, here's your friends, here's your games. And all I had to do was like click install and it reinstalled, you know, everything.
And that can work for Steam because the PC is a platform that doesn't just get replaced, it evolves.
Yeah.
But consoles get replaced. And when you're paying, when you go for like ownership is access. Well, when your access is tied to a particular device, and then that device suddenly goes away or becomes obsolete and is no longer supported, then, like, ownership isn't even ownership anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, it's gone.
It's evaporated.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a problem. Which is why, like, I would be much more interested in a subscription-based thing. Well, like the streaming device that they're talking about?
On Live.
John Tracy, who I work with, said he found out some more information on that, about how they intend to make that work. Apparently, like, for the service to work, they're going to drop, like, these big, massive servers in at the ISP levels. It's because you've got relatively fast pipes from your ISP to your home.
Right.
Which I think could theoretically be low enough latency that this shit could actually work.
Huh.
So that's a pretty pretty big cost outlay there.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you would need some ISPs interested in providing that particular service. But I don't know, that could be the way to go. It's a little bit more platform agnostic.
Man, you know? it's a little weird. I don't, you know. It's the tiniest little sliver of the fictional singularity that a lot of sci-fi geeks have been looking toward for a long time. But, you know, it's kind of like all our favorite data is sort of transcending its physical form and turning into pure energy. It's basically like our video games are becoming enlightened. They've moved beyond their physical bodies and they, you know, become one with the universe.
But it's hard unless you're gaming on the PC to do this digitally and be able to say, I want to pay one time fee to always have access to this particular property. You know?
Yeah. I don't know, you know, and hey, why don't I bring MMOs back into it? hey, they've already done this.
Mm-hmm.
You're under an illusion that you own a disc, that you actually have the game. But the whole thing is a subscription model.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you bought Tabula Rasa, you're shit out of luck, my friend. You can't play Tabula Rasa. Like, it's already there. Like the fact of dealing with something that sucks like that. I mean, you say it's a problem. And I want to put problem in, like, capital letters, the kind of problem that gets written on a whiteboard. You know, the sort of problem that exists in a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
The question really is, though, what is the problem? Is the problem that we need to figure out how not to let this happen? Or is the problem to figure out how to assuage it? Or to teach people that this is simply how the world works now? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is the problem the fact that, you know, I don't know, like...
All right,
that the thing is obsolete, or is it just getting people used to the idea that the thing is obsolete?
Being completely straight and going somewhere people probably don't like to go with this, if I have... Okay, let's take my 360 collection of DLC and Xbox Live Arcade titles. That at some point in the future, my 360 dies, I can't... repair it or get it repaired or afford to get it repaired. I've moved on to the next thing, and there's no platform on which for it to run. I have no doubt and no personal ethical or moral issue with finding some pirated version of those things I've paid for and running them in some sort of emulator.
Right.
Because I know it will be available. It will be done that far down the line. That's one way of dealing with it. And if I've paid for the stuff, well, I don't have a problem with going through, you know, gray or even black areas to get that shit to run if I don't have an official, proper legal means of doing so.
Well, then maybe it's worth entertaining the idea. Hopefully the people in charge of these things are entertaining the idea that foregoing any sort... The failure to future-proof your shit... is only going to push people into gray or black areas.
Mm-hmm.
It may be something that they've recognized more recently. I don't know. Maybe that's something that's influenced their flexibility now, but I don't know. It's really messy for me to think about, too. Like, I mean, I like thinking about it, but sometimes I just get real, like, confused. I'm just like, fuck off. I know what they're going to do.
It's like, let them deal with it.
Well, it's not only that, but it's
they're
like...
They're the ones that are going to deal with it anyway.
I just don't see how you can get there. I mean, I see getting there. I'm just like, oh, God, this is like... didn't we just start this generation with a whole thing of like, wow, those are pretty graphics. Hey, HD. All right, that's the defining concept of this generation.
It's very strange how short this generation feels. But yeah. It's been going on for a while.
Because what this generation is about has changed.
It's just been evolved, yeah.
It started about HD graphics, and it was the HD generation. It was HD, 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 HD. And, hey, look, you can download Uno from the marketplace, right? Now it's like, HD is an old thing. It's like an old question. It's
now
like
you can download movies in HD.
Yeah, whatever. You don't even fucking say it. It's like HD is a given. It's not what it's about anymore. What it's about is DLC. What it's about is non-physical media. What it's or you know whatever digital distribution. Any of those things. But all the shit's the same. You know, like all the hardware's the same. All the physical shit is the same. So you can't really. You haven't seen their, you can't see their big moves.
Like, right.
Their big moves are always with console iterations, with hardware iterations. It tells you what they're into, tells you what they want the next 5 years to be about.
Yeah.
And we've said this exact thing a couple of episodes ago. They wanted it to be a little bit about what they're doing now. They empowered the systems to do a bit of this. And now they're realizing that it's more of it than they expected. And that's evidenced by this ridiculous increase in the number of original titles and of all shapes and sizes that are going to be available only through these marketplaces.
I mean, Final Fantasy VII
that were defined by fucking horse armor to begin with. And that everybody figured was, yeah, you know, like, this is what the marketplace is for.
Wasn't that a nice April Fool's joke?
Yeah. Double price horse armor?
Yeah.
Half price of everything else, but we're doubling the price of the horse armor.
That was pretty
funny. I could appreciate that.
But, like, you know what I'm saying? So we don't really, we can kind of see what they're doing with software. We can see what they're doing with some of their business model decisions. We can see what they're doing when they essentially destroy that, the ceiling, the cap on XBLA title sizes. But the only thing that's going to be, like, truly, truly telling is what happens the next time they build a machine to house their business model. The business model lives inside of that box 5 years at a time because it can only work through that box. That box is the conduit. You know, what's the next box going to be like? And really, you can't... I don't know, man.
I don't know.
What the fuck? I don't know. It's crazy, though. Shit's fucking crazy. It's basically what it all boils down to. This shit's nuts.
Thanks for the question. 30 minutes later after we reach your email.
That's where we wanted to be. We're like, you know, a couple minutes off 2 hours.
I guess it's good that we only got one email this week.
I've been going about this shit forever.
Yeah, and most likely will. Thanks for writing in.
That's our show for the week.
Yeah, if you want to write to us, everyone at ingamechat.net. This is our show for the week. You may notice the length and size of this episode. It's because you're only getting this one this week, and for the next few weeks, you will only be getting
for the foreseeable future. We're just going to say that.
Just one show per week.
One a week. It's crazy time here. So
it's crazy time here, and it's kind of slow time out there in the in gaming because not getting a lot of gaming done. There's games out there. There's Pitch Black, There's Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah.
There's a few others to look at as well. We got DSIs we want to play with. There's new stuff on the DSI store.
Yeah.
I have no idea what, but it's there. Kind of slow, but it's getting ready to, you know, pick up pretty soon. So there's
about a month
possibility of us going back into the two shows, but for now, one show a week. And like I said, you want to email us, everyone at ingamechat.net, and check us out on the forums over at colonyofgamers.com. Matt, thanks for being on the show with us.
Thank you.
RJ, thanks for being on the show with us. Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll see you again next week.
Take care.
Thank you. Boy, I sure wish I had someone to play co-op with.
Well, Billy, you're in luck. Cooptimus.com's Coopticast can fix that problem right up. Insightful commentary, game reviews, and community features, all with a focus on co-op gaming. Visit www.cooptimus.com/podcast for more info.